Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, October 24th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Opposition parties agree that there is need for Zimbabwe to improve relations with the West in order to revitalize the country's fast declining economy. A Zimbabwean who won in the recent British elections has been nominated for the Female Youth Leader of the Year Award in the 2015 Black Entertainment Film, Fashion, Television and Arts Awards.
It came as a surprise because I guess I've done a lot of things, but it's good to be acknowledged and it's really good for people to appreciate the things that you do in the community. I'm also not the only Zimbabwean.
A Mashonaland Central farmer, Philip Rankin, is still under siege after his land in Centenary was invaded by supporters of a British-based doctor, Sylvester Nyatsuro.
They're basically in a situation where for weeks on end they have to go through this kind of trauma where they don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next.
And don't miss the Women's Forum this evening as we take a closer look at women's issues. Opposition parties agree that there is need for Zimbabwe to improve relations with the West in order to revitalize the country's fast declining economy. All the parties we've been engaging this week in a State of the Nation series on Studio 7 believe that the starting point is to have fresh elections and a new government. But what can these opposition parties do in 100 days if elected by Zimbabweans? First, we posed this question to Women's Affairs Director Thabisile Ncube of Zimbabwe First, led by Maxwell Shumba.
The first thing that we're going to do, we're going to work on the electricity side, we're going to work on the social side, we're going to work on the economical side. On the economical side, we're going to invite all those countries who are willing to throw a brick into our building. And so the building is well finished. We're going to build industries and provide jobs. And then money is going to be coming from there. People are going to be happy. Then the other aspect as well, we're going to make sure that the social aspect, we're going to make sure that all the Zimbabweans, everybody, every citizen has got their voice to be heard and acted upon. We're not going to have another side of the social side exploited by the other, but we're going to equalize everybody into our country to make our country happy, to make them our country a liberal country. Our government, actually, we don't talk of dictatorship as well. We're going to look at the agricultural side. When land of Zimbabwe that was unfairly distributed, we're now going to do the proper land reform to make sure that everybody within our country enjoys the privileges of being in Zimbabwe, enjoys every piece of the motherland.
We posed the same question to Norris Moyo of the Progressive Democrats of Zimbabwe.
We look at our economy. If we look at Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe is a rich country when it comes to natural resources. We'll put up a team that will make sure of that all those resources are well managed. And we'll also put up a team in our central bank, the Reserve Bank, to make sure that Zimbabwe has its own currency. As it is like now, Zimbabwe is the only country which doesn't have its own currency, of which it's not easy to work on the economy without having the currency. So we will fight for that. We have our own currency. We bring back our Zimbabwean dollar.
Samuel Sipepankomo, vice chairman of the People's Democratic Party, had this to say.
I believe that hope has got various segments, and one of the segments is actually dealing with what needs to be done first. What is it that we need to kickstart flow of money? What we need in this country to kickstart development is inflow of money. And we believe that if PDP was government, we have sufficient friends around the globe that we believe who we have talked to about hope, and we continue talking to them, and they believe it is the answer. And we believe because they believe in it, like we do, they will actually bring in the necessary funds to actually kickstart a growing economy in our country. So within 100 days, you remember during the GNU, we became ministers. And within 100 days of our appointment, there was food, plenty of food in the shops. And this economy began to tick. I believe that will happen once we're in power.
Treasurer Alois Zwairo of the National Constitutional Assembly says his party will strive to turn around the economy.
In 100 days, I will first address the issues to do with the rule of law. There has to be a rule of law. There has to be accountability within government. Anyone who is employed by government institutions, whether it be a minister, a mayor or so, has to be accountable for his action and see to it that they benefit the nation, not individuals. The problem we have in this country is that people have become so too much self-centered that they look at their own pockets and the pockets of their families as opposed to looking at the broader interests of the nation or of the citizens, so to say.
And David Rota Takaruza of Transform Zimbabwe put it this way.
Within the first 100 days, we are going to introduce an economic policy that is going to revamp the economy of Zimbabwe. And we are going to introduce a new cabinet that is lean, that is efficient and effective. We are also going to introduce new policies that target the economy, that will revive agriculture, and that is our comparative advantage. We are also going to look at mainline industries, like the mining industry.
Do you have an economic blueprint?
We are going to introduce and formulate policies that encourage viable business. You know, for any new business to thrive and to be sustainable, it needs capital. And a conducive political environment is the one that empowers even its own citizens and even the investors themselves.
For more details on this issue, visit us at www.voazimbabwe.com. And that is www.voazimbabwe.com. We will give you more on opposition parties and ZANU-PF next week. Stay tuned. A Zimbabwean, Nicole Ndiweni, who won in the recent British general elections, has been nominated for the Female Youth Leader of the Year Award in the 2015 Black Entertainment Film, Fashion, Television and Arts Awards. Ndiweni, who contested the elections under the Labour Party, is now Hacknell Councillor in Ashfield District Council. She speaks to Studio 7 about her nomination.
It's an interesting award ceremony. It's celebrating Black people in the UK who have achieved a lot of things in terms of entertainment, TV, film and also the arts. So we're looking forward to celebrating this in a week's time. We'll also be looking at artists, I think, outside of the UK, just also as long as they're Black and they're achieving stuff, this is what they're looking at. So it's an exciting time.
And we're told that you are one of the nominees.
I'm one of the nominees this year, thank goodness, for Female Youth Leader of the Year, which has been something, you know, it came as a surprise because I guess I've done a lot of things, but it's good to be acknowledged and it's really good for people to appreciate the things that you do in the community. I'm also not the only Zimbabwean, so it's great to see other Zimbabweans doing really well in the community.
Why do you think you were actually picked, you know, among millions of people?
I guess it's the recognition for the work that I'm doing within the community and within the political realm. And also because I guess I'm in business, I am a inspiration, I suppose, to a lot of young people. And I've been doing a lot of talks within different communities and in different areas in the UK. I think something that probably caught the founder's attention was the fact that we spoke on the same platform. So a lady called Pauline Long, she founded the awards ceremony, and we had a motivational day in London 2 months back, and she was a guest speaker and I was a guest speaker, and I think I must have made an impression on her. So I think this is how this came about.
Now, can you imagine if you get this award, how are you going to react?
I mean, I'm honestly grateful for the recognition and grateful for the support from the Black community and just the community as a whole, where I'm from and all over the world. To be honest, I'm really grateful for a lot of Zimbabwean support, African support. And it will be overwhelming, to say the least, because the category is extremely strong. There are a lot of contenders, a lot of women who've done amazing things. So to be honest, to be recognized in that category is a blessing.
Do you have any message for the outside world, including Zimbabweans?
It being the Female Youth Leader of the Year, I would just encourage women in whatever position that they're in to go for their dreams and go for what they want. And, you know, sometimes as women, we're afraid to lead, and we can lead just as well as men can. So I would encourage all the women to, you know, take up the strength and have the courage to do whatever it is they want to do.
That was Zimbabwean Nicole Ndiweni, a councillor in Britain, speaking with Studio 7 from Hacknell, Britain.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
Emashonaland farmer Philip Rankin is still under siege after his land in Centenary was invaded by supporters of a British-based doctor, Sylvester Nyatsuro. According to Ben Frith of SATIC Tribunal Rights Watch, the Rankin family, which has a tobacco crop worth more than $360,000, has been distressed by the farm invasion. Frith tells Studio 7 the family is appealing for national and international help.
They've been under siege now for about 2 weeks. They've got a doctor from Britain, in fact, who has sent a whole lot of people to the farm with his wife and dropped them off there and prevented the Rankins from being able to live a normal life, in that they've been making a lot of noise at night and they've been creating a lot of problems for Mr. Rankin to go about and irrigate his crops and carry on farming. They're saying that Dr. Nyatsuro is taking the farm and that he must get off. But he's got all his crops in the ground at the moment and it's his only home, and it's a very difficult situation, but not something that is unusual. It's been going on for 15 years.
Isn't this kind of move going to dent the image of Zimbabwe further?
It is. I mean, it's very sad that this lawlessness is just continuing. And so long as lawlessness carries on in Zimbabwe, obviously the image of Zimbabwe will continue to be dented.
And the distress call that you got from the Rankin family, tell us a bit about it.
The Rankins are a strong Christian family, and all they want to do is live at peace with their fellow man. And that was the message that I got. If at all possible, it says in the book of Romans, if at all possible, live at peace with your fellow man. And unfortunately, it's very difficult when people come to try and take away your home and take away your livelihood and take away your crops to live in a situation where there is peace. So, yeah, it's very difficult to know how to help them at this stage, because the police certainly do not come out to tell people that they cannot do these things. They're basically in a situation where for weeks on end they have to go through this kind of trauma where they don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next.
That was Ben Frith of the SATIC Tribunal Rights Watch speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Dr. Nyatsuro was not available for comment, as his lawyer, Stephen Pearson of Fritz LLP Solicitors in Nottingham, was not responding to calls as he was said to be busy. As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight we are gladly joined by Dr. Eve Gadzikwa, who has been just recently appointed the president-elect of the African Organization for Standardization. Dr. Gadzikwa is a Zimbabwean businesswoman, leader, mentor, philanthropist, and an author. She is the Director General and Secretary to the Standards Association of Zimbabwe. Following her appointment, Dr. Gadzikwa becomes the first woman president-elect of the African Organization for Standardization. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Dr. Gadzikwa.
Okay, a little bit about myself first. Eve is just a simple lady who has a lot of passion in what she does. She started her journey in the science world more than 20 years ago when I embarked on this journey of science and technology and standards. My first qualification, I'm a bacteriologist. I then moved into marketing, and then I found myself in the world of business where I studied for an MBA before I got this doctorate. So the African Organization for Standardization means just a big statement to just define how standards are a common language for everybody. ASO is really recognizing the importance of standards at continental level And my role as the president will be to champion standards in Africa.
Why now?
As you know, Africa is the next great frontier. Most people who are around the world right now are looking at Africa to provide a large market that is not yet fully exploited. And so it becomes very important that Africans, including Zimbabwe, that we understand the importance of standards. Myself coming in now, you're asking why now? It's so key because I'm a woman, so I'm the first lady president to be, you know, heading this institution, which is recognized by African Union. And it's also coming in at a time when His Excellency President Robert Mugabe, he is the chairman of African Union. So that coincidence of me coming in, you know, at a time when AU is driving women empowerment using standards and also having the president backing all this as the chairman is quite significant.
When do you actually take up this new appointment?
In June of 2016.
What would you say has led to this culmination of you being the first lady president for such a big organization?
I think it's the experience. I've been in standards now. I would say this is my eighth year working in standards in Zimbabwe. And, you know, as you know, whilst I'm here in Zimbabwe as the ISO member, as SARS is the ISO member in Zimbabwe, we also participate at SADC level, at COMESA level. I also actively participate at ISO international level and at the continental level. So basically, it has meant that I've had to cut across a number of barriers, you know, to get where I am today.
And if there were a woman listening out there to your story, can it happen to anybody?
Absolutely. I think you remember me saying I'm just a simple woman who's got a lot of passion. This can happen to absolutely anybody. And trust me, you know, there are many women like myself who have gone on to achieve good, you know, great things. I think Zimbabwean women by nature, we are very creative. We're also aggressive and we're also determined because I think gone are the days when women used to be stereotyped into put in a box to say this is what you can achieve and this is what you can't achieve. I don't really make gender a main issue.
As part of your accolades, you have written a book, I Dare You to Lead. Tell us a little bit about that book. What inspired you to write it?
This book, I launched it on the 17th of July 2015. I've always wanted to write my own book and to tell my own story. Because you see, what happens is when you're in a leadership position, you enter into this leadership position, you start working your way up the corporate ladder, and before you know it, you're out of it. The idea of writing a book for me was really to just immortalize my thoughts on paper. And this book is really a leadership book.
And I understand that you have a mentorship program where you're actually mentoring some young women in Zimbabwe. Tell us a little bit about that.
I started this mentorship program about 2 years ago, having realized that a lot of young people, when they come out of college, all they have is this piece of paper that says they've got this qualification, this degree. But what they really don't have is that extra guidance in terms of the real world out there.
If there is a young woman or some women listening to this program right now out there, what word of advice would you have for them?
You know what? I would say to them, sky is not the limit. You can achieve anything you want to achieve for as long as you put your mind to it. Take it one day at a time. Rome wasn't built in one day. And also balance your life. Still have time to enjoy yourself. Don't exhaust yourself to a point where you can't even find time to enjoy. I still have a very full life, but I still enjoy my life as well.
Time is not on our side. Thank you, Dr. Eve Gadzikwa, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you, Marvelous. It was wonderful talking with you.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. Now to recap today's top stories. Opposition parties agree that there is need for Zimbabwe to improve relations with the West in order to revitalize the country's fast declining economy. A Zimbabwean who won in the recent British elections has been nominated for the Female Youth Leader of the Year Award in the 2015 Black Entertainment Film, Fashion, Television and Arts Awards. And a Mashonaland Central farmer is still under siege after his land in Centenary was invaded by supporters of a British-based doctor, Sylvester Nyatsuro. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Kande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.